did it. 8:58 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Coming up next, why should we pull the plug on what is called the cult of technology? Are you too immersed in technology? Why do we keep throwing out technology as the way to solve all of our problems? We're going to talk to an author whose provocative new book asks that question. Stick around.
Even the New York Times has called you a populist rabble-rouser, okay?
David Sirota.
Are you a Che Guevara? Are you a Che Guevara for our age? And you look forward to a day when college students wear your face on their shirt and don't know what you did?
Please welcome David Sirota.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
9:05 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Happy Thursday. Thursday, best day of the week, especially when it's looking out on a three-day weekend. Yes. So psyched about the three-day weekend. What does that say about me? It just says I'm exhausted, I guess. We have a really busy hour coming up in this hour. At the beginning of this hour, we're going to be talking in just a moment to an author whose new book explores what he calls the cult of tech, the cult of technology. Are we immersed in this cult? Why is it a cult? How does it resemble a cult? And why should you care? What is the cult of technology? Why does technology keep being thrown out there as the solution to all of our problems? Whenever there is a major pressing problem in the world, usually you hear some technology executives say, well, we can innovate our way out of it. And specifically, we can innovate our way out of it using more and more technology. Joining us now is Jason Ben Levy, whose new book, Too Much Magic, Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Technology. He has worked with a number of major tech companies. This book comes out of his work, and he looks at issues like net neutrality, facial recognition software, Facebook technologies, saying that they're just a peek at the larger issues that are hidden from view in this cult of technology. Jason, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, David. Good to be here.
Let's first start out with, what do you mean by the cult of tech?
Well, the cult of tech really winds up being, you know, there was an evolution that took place in the technology business. It started out with a lot of, in the very beginning, with all the heavy-duty scientists coming up with all the big computing things like IBM and all the legacy computing. And then we had a great revolution where a lot of the hippie scientists of the 70s and 80s came up with personal computing. The Steve Jobses and people like that, which really were great for giving people the ability to do things that they couldn't do before. And we liked all of that part, and you as a child of the 80s got to witness some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then along the way, probably in the 1990s when the net came about, we went from people who were really interested in technology for technology's sake because it was interesting, because it was enlightening people, to turning the technology into yet another business, and a business in the sense that we had entrepreneurs that were more interested in starting the next Yahoo or the next pets.com than we were in inventing things that would help us. And along the way, it attracted a whole other class of people who were really just more interested in making money and using us as a conduit to do it than to help us do things. And they brought out cycles of technology faster and faster that we struggle to adopt, and often we become addicted to it. So in part of that is by design, that the idea is to kind of think about everything that you have. That at one time you had a phone, and your phone was something you could talk to someone with, and then your phone becomes someplace where advertising can be shown, or that your computer is very heavily full of advertising these days. So we've taken all these things that were basically a good idea and turned them into conduits for advertising to benefit a very few. And at the very core of this few are the venture capitalists, who are very much like the banksters, that they have some level of sociopathy that just drives them to keep shoving this technology down our throat, whether it helps us or not. And in many cases, they're really not interested in helping us at all.
So the technology revolution, the stage of the technology revolution you think we're in, is mostly being driven by technology that is designed to sell us things, to market other things to us, rather than technologies that help us achieve certain goals. Now, and I don't want to parse it too much here,
right?
But there's just for to put some real examples on this. There's a difference between, let's say, a CAT scan machine and an iPhone. An iPhone is basically a machine that is designed to transmit messages to you, and you can use it to transmit messages to the cloud. But you could make the argument that an iPhone fundamentally is an advertising conduit. You can't make the same argument for, let's say, a CAT scan machine. CAT scan machine is designed to, and it makes money. I mean, the people who make the CAT scan machines, they're doing it for profit, but they make money because they're selling to hospitals and doctors and saying, this is something you can do something with. We're not trying to advertise anything else. It's not a conduit. Are you saying that you think the technology industry is moving disproportionately in the direction of innovation that is designed to create conduits to market to us rather than to create products that actually achieve certain societal goals?
Well, they need to create the products that we're talking most specifically about personal digital technologies, the things that we carry around in our pocket or have on our desk that we actually live with every day. There's nothing wrong with technology, especially when we're doing things like doing CAT scans. That's kind of a different category. But the stuff that we all are responsible for purchasing ourselves and having in our lives and that alter our lives is the area where we've kind of, again, have that conduit of advertising, of marketing, being drawn to us. And we kind of, because it's such a seductive technology, because everyone wants the newest iPhone or the newest Google TV or whatever device, we've kind of been market ourselves into being very complicit with this.
What is the answer? What is somebody hearing this who
right.
can agree with you would say, well, I still like my iPhone, I still like my iPod, I still like my DVR machine, my on-demand video. I still like all these conduits. Is there an answer? Are you saying throw out your iPhone? Are you saying throw out your TV? How would you suggest people deal with this flood of information in a way that is a little bit more productive?
Sure. I think that part of it is being a little bit more resistant toward having to have the newest thing. That is, that there's a certain amount of intimidation that takes place, that if you're using an iPhone 3, somehow you feel absolutely compelled to get the iPhone 4, even though the advantages of having an iPhone 4 may not be all that great. You can watch your TV as it is right now. You don't necessarily need a Google TV, which would then be channeling you Google advertising, which you may not really need. And I think that a lot of it happens just sheerly by people feeling that they are compelled to get the newest thing.
That there is this drive for the new. I mean, your words are encouragement to me, because I am always wondering, well, what, you know, I just wrote an article yesterday for Salon saying, keep your stupid phone, don't get a smartphone. A stupid phone being just a cell phone that takes voice calls and has text messages, as opposed to getting one of these newfangled smartphones, and the smartphones keep getting smarter. And your words are music to my ears. But I would also say I do feel that pull that I want to get the new thing. I mean, I used to be into gadgets. I used to be a real gadget file, but then I realized that every time I brought a new gadget into the house, it was creating more and more stress, because then you got to set it up, and then you got to make sure it works with everything.
Right.
Where does that push come from? I mean, where do you think that desire to have the newest thing comes from?
It comes from really slick marketing and the fact that we're kind of attracted to blinky little lights and things like that. And now the model that we're going toward now is a very service-oriented model. That is, it's not enough just to have your phone, but you have to have the internet-connected service, and then you have to have the cloud service, which is another hook into our lives, where we're going to be depositing a lot of our personal information on something that we don't see. And it sounds nice when we call it the cloud, but it's really a big giant data center someplace that's basically sifting through our personal information to learn more about us. And if you think about something like Facebook, you know, why is Facebook free? Well, how could they possibly have a business where everything is free?
Mm-hmm.
because what's really valuable is all the information that we're putting.
That's right. They're commodifying our information. There is no free lunch, to use a cliche. That's exactly right. That Facebook is not really free, or Facebook and Google are not really free.
Right.
You don't have to pay money for them, but you're paying in something else, which they are commodifying and then making money off of as well. And that this is going to continue. This business model is going to continue because it is so profitable. And being just aware of it. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who just simply aren't even aware that this is happening, need to become a little bit more aware of it, if only to make sure that we know how to manage it in our lives, or for our children, or for our family, or for our own personal management. I mean, you can be overwhelmed by this stuff and not even understand what it's doing to you and to your life. The book is called Too Much Magic: Pulling the Plug on the Cult of Tech. The author is Jason Ben Levy. You can find his website linked on our website, sirota.am760.net. Jason, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for your time this morning.
Sure, thank you.
917 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. Coming up next, our News of the Weird segment, including a proposal to use sewage wastewater as the basis for snow machines on ski mountains. You want to be skiing on top of sewage? We'll tell you about that proposal coming up in our News of the Weird segment. Also, remember, coming up at 9:35, famed comedian Bob Saget will join us. Stick around for all that coming up after these words.